Hey, guys. You're listening to another episode of Redefining the Counterculture right here on Witten Radio. Today, we've got a special guest for you. We're joined by Tasha Rain. Tasha is talking to us a little bit about some new projects that she's got coming up for the new year, as well as how she got into the world of adult filmmaking. Tasha, how's it going?
Oh, it's going well. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
I just woke
up,
actually. Well, yeah, last night was the Actors Award, so, you know, that was really fun. Do you hear that squealing in the background?
I do, yeah.
That's my miniature pig. His name's Quinn.
Wow. So you have a miniature pig.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Have you always been a lover of animals, very fond of animals?
Oh, yeah. I love animals. If I could have a million of them, I think I would. But they're a lot of work, so I have to keep it to four.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I can only imagine. Pets are a lot of work. But they're worth it.
I know, but they're worth it because they're just so cute.
Absolutely. So Tasha, for our listening audience, I was wondering, you know, what got you involved? Interested or involved in the adult of the world of adult filmmaking? Was it something that you knew you always wanted to kind of get into, or to just kind of fall into it?
No, I didn't fall into it actually, which I know, you know, a lot of people have all different stories, and nobody recruited me, nobody found me at like a strip club. I always just wanted to be a model in front of the camera, but specifically a nude model, like my whole high school career. Like when I got about, I would say like 16, I saw a show called The Girls Next Door, and I was like, oh my God, that's what I want to do when I grow up. And, you know, that was it. Like I graduated high school and I moved out to Los Angeles and I went to college because my parents made me go to school. But also because I liked school. And from there, I just pursued modeling, and I was lucky enough to pose for Playboy a bunch of times, but it just wasn't going where I wanted it to go. So I had watched, you know, some adult movies in a hotel room, actually, after getting my breasts done, and I was like, if I'm going to do that, I better do it now. I better go and figure out how to get into the hardcore adult industry now, because I was 21 and almost 22, actually. So I'm 27 now. So, yeah, I just went and pursued it, like, really hard and knocked on a bunch of doors. And the first agent I was with actually didn't get me any work for months. And then after that, I found a new agent, LA Direct Models, and I signed with them. And yeah, I'm still working with them to this day.
Wow, that's crazy. So it's okay. So I see where you transitioned. That's crazy. I mean, it seems like it worked out for you because you're one of the bigger names in the industry, and so when you
I definitely enjoy it for sure.
Absolutely. I guess when you look back over, you know, like where you've been and kind of where you are now, does it ever freak you out? Do you ever get to the point to where you're just like, I can't believe, like, this is me now? Like, I've, you know, because I know, like, when you first started, it probably wasn't, you know, as glamorous as it is now. Does it ever trip you up to just kind of look back on where you've come from?
Sometimes I definitely, you know, I'm proud of the work that I've put into the business, especially like, you know, last night at our award show and next week at ABN, I feel very appreciated by the people that, you know, are the most powerful people in our business. And they notice when girls have been in for a long time and have put in a lot of hard work and effort, and it's definitely nice. But no, normally I'm just, you know, I don't think about it too much, but during award season, it definitely comes up for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I know that you are, you're educated. I know that you you know, you have a degree from UCLA, and your background, you actually have quite a background in writing. You're a heck of a writer.
Yeah, I love writing.
Yeah, I've read some of your articles. Do you feel like you'll ever transition back into writing, or do you feel like that part of your life is done now that you've got a career in porn?
No, I currently write. I just took a little break since actually November, and I just got back into the swing of things. My first article gets published on Monday, I think, but I took a little break from writing during the election. I just felt like everything I wrote was negative, and I was really, like, in a bad mental state. So I just took, like, a little few-month hiatus, but I write. I love writing.
Okay. Man, that's awesome.
I feel like I could definitely do that for, like, the rest of my life, hopefully.
Very nice. Yeah, I had no idea that you had something published Monday, because I knew you'd taken a hiatus, but I didn't know. So that's cool. So you're gradually getting back into the swing of things.
Oh, yeah, writing is my happiest thought. I mean, I'm working on a book, actually. So that's going to be coming out next year in March. So that should be really exciting.
Very nice, very nice. You mentioned that you had, written a lot during this past political season, and I actually had read some of the articles that you've written, and a lot of the stuff that you wrote was very poignant, spot on. I know that you were a huge proponent for, there was a bill called Proposition 60, I believe, that was, it was a California bill, that you were working against, you know, helping to petition. I've read that the bill didn't pass, and I'm guessing that's good for you, good for the industry, correct?
I think, you know, it's one of those things where I look back and I'm like, okay, I definitely gave that my all, and I felt like it was the right thing to do, but at the same time, you know, it's a very draining situation, and not everything is black and white. There's a lot of gray. But, yes, I think that bill would have been bad for our industry, but I also feel like our industry needs a lot of work. We need to work on coming together, on regulating, on protecting our people. There's a lot more we need to do. But that bill was definitely, you know, something that I feel could have been taken in a direction that would have been very backwards, very Trump-esque, if you will.
Absolutely. In light of the results of the election, because I know that, you know, you're very involved with the political climate of 2016 leading up to the election. What do you think is going to happen now? I mean, I know that the election didn't go a lot of ways for a lot of people. What do you think is, I guess, on the horizon for the next 4 years with Trump, President Donald Trump as president?
Oh, man, I'm not sure. I'm just hoping that, you know, all of the people that are for equality and women's rights and all things we've been working so hard for continue to be activists and just promote positivity. I wish him the best. Like, I want our, you know, our nation to be strong. So I hope that everything ends up being okay. But it's definitely in the back of my mind, like, okay, just be prepared, you know, be prepared for anything.
Yeah, absolutely. You're so right. I want to kind of jump ahead and talk a little bit about your career in porn. I know that, you know, porn is something that, you know, it has a lot of detractors. People say that it has, you know, negative responses, you know, on the male brain, on the human brain. A lot of people say that it, you know, destroys marriages, stuff like that. As a performer in the industry yourself, what are your feelings on on the work that you do? Do you feel like it's negative? Do you feel like it's positive? What are your
thoughts? That's a great question. It is something that is a loaded question because, you know, in no other entertainment field would you just swipe a brush across it. So, like, for instance, I just consider what I do acting in movies. But, you know, say we're specifically talking about mainstream movies. Not all mainstream movies are good movies. You know, some of them have purpose. Some of them don't. Some of them are hits. Some of them aren't. Some of them perpetuate violence. Some of them don't. So it's just a matter of being specific when you choose to pick. And I have the intention to entertain when I perform in scenes and the intention to bring happiness to people's relationships and to individuals at home alone and to myself. So I work really hard to bring that to my scenes. And then I also critique what I do, not everything I've done that, you know, I would necessarily go back and do again, but I definitely feel like I learn and grow. And in March, when my contract with Elegant Angel comes up, I'm only going to shoot for myself for TashaRain.com. So I'll have complete, you know, control over exactly the type of scenes that I star in and all of that good stuff.
Gotcha. Okay. And, yeah, because I had read somewhere that you actually have your own production company, which is, I think, is a pretty big deal. With you having your own production company and being, I guess I would assume that it would give you more control over what you shoot, when you shoot, you know, how frequently and everything. And so,
yeah, well, this last year I've kind of, you know, just been shooting mostly for Elegant Angel and kind of just focusing on that. I do update my site quite a bit, but next year is going to be a whole nother thing for me. I want to just really, you know, focus on producing and directing my own content and my own brand. And the thing about it is it will make a difference in the intent behind whatever it is that I shoot. Like I was saying, you know, I feel like every time I shoot, I want to make it something that I'm behind. And when you shoot for any company, you know, you have to shoot, you know, you need a compromise. You bring your element to it as an artist, but at the same time, you might not be the director. So it's just important for me to make sure that everything I do is something that's thoughtful and that I'm behind 110%, you know?
Absolutely.
So just making little changes here and there, but I only have the intention of bringing entertainment and happiness and consent to individuals. And if people, you know, interpret my work as something else, well, we live in America, and that's totally part of what we're supposed to do. And I believe in the freedom of speech more than anything.
I really don't even mind, you know, when people have a different opinion than I do.
Absolutely. And that kind of leads into my next question. And this is, I guess this is a little bit different from the work you do because you're just in the, you know, you're just in the film side of things. But, you know, recently Backpage.com was shut down. Well, the adult section of it was shut down and citing government censorship. What are your thoughts on that? Because I would assume all of that falls into freedom of speech as well.
Are you referring to the back pages?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I heard something about that, and it's one of those things, like, I need to be more versed on exactly the details of what happened in order to answer it, because I really, this is like a whole other topic, but I really believe in legalizing prostitution. I think that it would protect the sex workers that do that work. And because it's not a legalized form of trade, and because I believe Backpages is mostly for that, I think that it can be really endangering for women and for everybody involved, because if you don't legalize something, but you allow a platform to do it, things get tricky, you know? Like, even the work that I do is not necessarily legal, right? Because not every company I work for pulls a permit. Nobody complies by the condom law that is on the OSHA book here in the state of California. So those are minor consequences, right? Because I'm a consenting adult, I go to set, I'm a model. But, you know, I'd have to look more into the Backpage's situation before I make a proper assumption. But I do believe in protecting my freedom of speech above everything. I want that, and I want consent to be something that's really at the forefront of our thought. But at the same time, if we are allowing a platform for prostitution, but then we criminalize prostitution, and then girls end up getting hurt and they can't even say, hey, this happened to me, because what they do is not legal, that to me is really problematic.
Absolutely. Yeah, I can see where you're coming from. Yeah.
Because, like, imagine if you're a sex worker and you're a prostitute and you're trying to work, and then all of a sudden, you know, you go and something happens, and you get killed or hurt or tortured or God knows what, you don't even have, the court of law won't even protect you. They won't say, it's like as if you were dealing, you know, crystal meth on the street and you get shot. You don't have protection. It's the same exact thing. So it's a very convoluted topic.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, there's definitely more sides to the story than, say, what the typical media portrays.
I haven't read the typical media, but I also do truly believe in freedom of speech. And if it's something that the government has come in and said, this is just, you know, this is just adult entertainment, and so we're shutting it down, well, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have to read more about it.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I really do see where you're coming from in terms of there being two, you know, more than one side to the story, you know, because... You know, you're just hearing the kids that get trafficked, but they're, like you said, they're people that, you know, make a living, you know, doing the adult work, and so it's like you're...
Right, and America has a really difficult time with differentiating between consensual sex and human trafficking, and I don't actually really understand how that's an issue, or how somebody wouldn't be able to grasp that as an adult. But I think it's just like a lack of media literacy and a lack of education around consent.
Yes, ma'am.
That prohibits people from going, oh, this is somebody that's consenting willingly, openly chose to get into something, and this is somebody that was coerced, forced, and, you know, raped. I mean, those are just such different acts. But for some reason to this day, people interview me and they'll ask me about child trafficking and how it pertains to the work that I do, and I'm like, I just don't even know where you went from A to B on that, you know? It's too crazy.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, because I could see, because, it's like apples and oranges, basically.
Literally. I mean, it's consensual, you know, sex with your husband versus rape with a stranger. I mean, literally, that's actually what it is. So it's just, when you put it in those terms, people grasp more puritanical philosophy. Like, they'll grasp, if you say something about a husband or a wife, then they'll go, oh, okay, they'll get that, you know?
Absolutely.
It was true. Like, even when Prop 60 was happening, that's what I would say to try to get people to understand, like, where I was coming from. If I was like, you know, this is going to come into the homes of people that are married. You know, this is like they're going to strap up when they're married at home and they make a living off of their body. And then people started to question it. They were like, oh, well, if it violates the sanctity of marriage, then, you know, then I can get behind it.
Absolutely. Yeah, because when I first heard about the bill myself, I said, you know, I wonder why all of these porn stars are fighting against it, because – you would think, you know, condom usage would be, you know, a win-win for everybody.
Right.
But then they explained in detail, you know, the other ramifications of the bill and how it would
ramifications, yeah.
Right. And so then I was able to see it from, you know, various perspectives, you know, such as your own.
Right. Yeah, and that's always great when people can express themselves and you can see it. something from their point of view and then, you know, work together to create a win-win environment, which, by the way, is something we've always wanted, that we wanted the whole time. Like, somebody talk to us, make this a win-win situation, but nobody would give us that respect, which was weird.
Yeah, I understand. I understand completely. And that kind of leads into my next question, but what would you say is, like, the biggest misconception about pornography and just the world of adult filmmaking? I know that, like we were talking about earlier, about how people that work in the adult industry, you know, they're not always, like, crimes are committed against them, and, you know, they're not always vindicated because of their profession. And then, obviously, there are people that look down on you because of your profession.
Right.
But what do you feel? How do you feel? Or, you know, what do you think is, I guess, the biggest misconception about what you do?
Just that I feel like we are, you know, dehumanized as a group for a variety of different reasons, and one of which is the discrimination and a lack of education and the lack of discussion around them. Because we're a nation that is just so conservative and puritanical, we don't talk about sex. And because of that, we're shamed. And that shame carries on throughout adult performers' lives, whether they like it or not. So I think that, you know, just that the conception that what we do is, like, wrong, or that there's, you know, that we're, something about us is damaged, that's the biggest conception to me.
Absolutely. I understand completely. It's a known fact that your profession is not a secret to many of your friends and family members, and I want to ask, you know, was it hard, I guess, letting them know what you do?
You know, it was in the beginning. I was talking to my friend Allie Hayes last night, and at the S of the words, and we were talking about, you know, how when we started in adult, we were so, you know, we were so self-conscious, how we lost a lot of family and friends and all this. And then we said, you know, we looked around and we realized that part of the problem was us, that we were so sensitive about what other people thought and maybe even judgmental about ourselves. And so then we started, you know, looking around and, like, really just trying to build a normal life again. And it was something that took a little time, but, you know, now I talk to most of my family and friends from my entire life, like from my childhood. Those are my best friends. So it's really nice to be able to have their support, but I went through a transitional phase.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But I would recommend, like, anybody that joins the adult business to always be open about it, because the more secretive you get, the worse it gets, you know?
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
About anything you do.
Yes, ma'am. That's right. I wanted to ask you, now this is more of a personal question, but you being in the industry, would you say that it's, are there times where it's lonely? Because I know that, well, I don't know for a fact, but I would imagine that it's hard to really connect with people in a way on a deeper level. I'm sure, you know, like when you meet guys and stuff, you know, they've almost, like you're still a woman to them, but they've made it to where you're almost like a, I guess, like a sex object. Is it safe to say that it's hard for you to meet, I guess, genuine people that want to get to know you for you?
You know what? I know this might sound cheesy, but I really believe in, like, the power of thought. So if you think that it's going to be hard, it's going to be hard. If you think that it's going to be easy, it's going to be easy. And, like, it might sound, like, childish to say that, but, like, you know, I'm dating somebody right now that I really like, and he, you know, sees me as me, and it's something that you just have to work on. You have to figure out, hey, how can I make sure that that's conceived as a character? Maybe date somebody that's also in an entertainment field so they understand what you do.
Okay.
A different level, just like I'm sure anybody in entertainment, whether it's a mainstream celebrity or an athlete, and then you just live your life, you know. If you dwell too much, it will come to show up. If you think about
you know, how you have something to offer, then it's not an issue.
Absolutely, yeah.
But also it really helps I'm in L.A. County. I mean, again, it's like porn capital of the world, I'm in the entertainment capital of the world. People are liberal and open. You know, we are a different breed of people, but that's also why I live here.
Right, absolutely, absolutely. I wanted to ask you, I know you said, you know, you believe in the power of, you know, positive thinking and positive thought, and those are actually base, I guess, characteristics or patterns that you find in, you know, some religions like Buddhism, Christianity, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Absolutely. So it's definitely not childish at all. But my question to you is, do you have any type of belief system or is there a certain religion that you identify with, or are you non-religious?
Well, my mom is Catholic and my dad is Jewish. Like, he's from Israel. And I was raised just kind of to choose, like, what I want to be. And then now I meditate pretty regularly. And a lot of meditation has a lot of, you know, Buddhist background in it. It's not 100%. And I definitely just identify with knowing that there's a higher power and something to always believe in. But I don't have, like, a religion that I feel that I'm obligated to.
Okay.
I just believe that there's a higher power.
Gotcha. Okay.
And I'm spiritual.
Gotcha. Yes, ma'am. I want to transition just a little bit. This will be one of my last questions, but it's been said that you identify strongly with the feminist porn movement. Do you yourself consider yourself, I guess, a feminist, or do you just have, I guess, feminist tendencies?
I definitely identify as a feminist, very much so, in a way that, you know, is my identity. There's different types, you know, feminism in my mind is one thing, but many people will try to tell you that if you do something like adult, that you're not a true feminist, and, you know, those people are entitled to their thoughts, but that's the actual opposite of the thought of a feminist. A feminist believes in equality, they believe in allowing for women to do whatever they want with their body, and, you know, we have to unite as women to be feminists, and men too, because we live in a world where that's necessary. And I majored in women's studies, so 110% I'm a feminist.
Absolutely. I understand completely. And I guess there's, you know, I guess there's a misconception about, you know, feminism and just womanhood, you know, because you're a feminist doesn't mean that you hate men. It just means that you're just wanting equality, correct?
It means a lot. Part of it is equality, and part of it is, you know, the belief that we can do what we want to do and have the volition and the choice, just like men do, and to care for one another and to have the opportunities that we see fit, not to be told this is the role. So, yeah, a whole group of different objectives.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's very eye-opening because, you know, I count myself in that group as well, but, you know, a lot of people are just ignorant about, you know, what feminism really is. And so it's always refreshing to hear, you know, a take on what it actually is and what, you know, what the goal of feminism is. So,
yeah, and honestly, I have a new radio show called Through My Rose Colored Lenses, and the basis is, you know, feminism, and do identify as a feminist, and I never get mad at guests if they don't, because I know that they might be one and they just don't like that stigma attached to that word. That's one thing. But then I also know that, you know, we're in our society, we're not even properly really taught what a feminist is. And, yeah, it's okay not to fully like that vocabulary word, but I think it's more powerful if we do, and we make sure that we don't let, you know, extremists take away that power, like the extreme feminists.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've got just two more questions, but was it true that you were on MTV's Laguna Beach, or is that a rumor?
Yes, no, that is totally true. I was a cast member my junior year in high school, and I actually usually don't lead with it, but I always answer it in interviews, and I think it is funny because people love that show. So
yeah,
it was a fun experience that I got to have as a kid. Well, I was 17, so not yet an adult, not yet a woman, or whatever the Britney Spears thing is.
I hear you. I hear you. That's so cool. And then
so cool.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, because, I mean, that's, you know, to me, that goes back to MTV's heyday, you know, before, you know, Laguna Beach and The Hills, those were two shows that were just, like, amazing, you know what I mean?
Cultural phenomenon.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you also ended up interviewing Lil Yachty. How was that? I mean, I know that you're a huge hip hop fan. Did you find yourself getting starstruck?
Oh, honestly, I didn't know who he was at the time, which I know it sounds crazy, but I just didn't. And yeah, I had so much fun. It was really nice to be able to be there at the Cali Christmas event and to just, like, you know, be kind of almost, like, behind the scenes in a way because I was interviewing somebody else. And overall, yeah, I'd love to do that again. So much fun. Even though, I'm not going to lie, that night I was wasted. And so because of that,
yeah,
I feel like I came across, like, kind of crazy and a little bit drunk because I was a little bit drunk.
Oh. Hey, it happens. It happens.
It does happen. Yeah, it happens.
Well, Tasha, I'm all out of questions. I want to thank you so much for just taking time to do this interview with me. I really appreciate it. You know, I'm definitely a small fish out here with my podcast, but I work really hard on it, and it means
yeah,
the world.
I saw your follow on Twitter, so yes, congratulations to you. That's really cool.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And I just appreciate, you know, you taking the time to do this interview with me. I know that, you know, you're accustomed to doing interviews with bigger outlets. And so this means a lot that you did this interview with me. So thank you so much.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for taking the time.
You're welcome. And my very, very, very last question is what can we expect from you in the months to come? What are you currently working on that will be out this year?
So I just shot Hard Rain 2, and I'm really excited about it. It's just my second showcase for Elegant Angel, and it's going to drop in March, and everybody should be looking out for it because it's my first gangbang, so I'm really excited for fans to get to see it. Yeah.
Okay. Do you ever, I didn't plan on asking this, but do you ever get nervous or, I guess, afraid and, like, when doing certain scenes like that,
yes, of course.
It's got to be kind of scary, I would imagine.
It's super intimidating, and I'm working on trying to only do things that I am comfortable doing. Sometimes you get into a position where you want to, like, please people and you want to bring new stuff to your fans, but you can't do that to yourself because I think psychologically it could be tolling, and I'm very happy with what I've come out with, but at the same time, this year, I'm just going to do what, you know?
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Tasha, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're welcome, and I hope you have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Bye. Guys, that was actress Tasha Raine. You can check out her the link to her website and the body of this post. If you're listening to this on SoundCloud, go ahead and hit the subscribe button. We're also on your mobile phone, your iOS device. If you've got an iPhone, download the Stitcher Smart Radio app. It's available for free in the iTunes store. Download the app, search for our show name, Redefining the Counterculture. You'll hear this interview with Tasha. We're also on Google Play. If you've got an Android device, search for us in the Google Play Store under Music. Our show name is Redefining the Counterculture.